Welcome to the voice of the end time. In our search for peace, prosperity, protection and satisfaction in these turbulent times of ours, the good news is that there is still hope for our situation. For Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, the Supreme Ruler of the universe, still calls us to come to Him so we can have rest. Now, receive the ministry of Reverend Francis Nyakum, Senior Pastor of the End Time Revival Center, Assemblies of God Church.
Praise God, His mercies are new every morning, and great is His faithfulness. We bless the Lord once again for the gift of life, even as we continue with the second segment of our theme, Where Will You Live Forever? Where will you live forever? We read from the book of Luke 16 the last time, and we want to go back to the same scripture. Luke chapter 16 verse 19. Luke chapter 16 verses 19 to 26. Jesus said, there was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed and who lived each day in luxury. At his door lay a diseased beggar named Lazarus. As Lazarus lay there, longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his open sores. Finally, the beggar died and was carried by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. And his soul went to the place of the dead. There in torment, he saw Lazarus in the far distance with Abraham. The rich man shouted, "Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in anguish in these flames." But Abraham said to him, "Son, remember that during your lifetime, you had everything you wanted, and Lazarus had nothing. So now he is here being comforted, and you are in anguish. And beside, there is a great chasm separating us. Anyone who wanted to cross over to you from here is stopped at its edge, and no one there can cross over to us." I want you to note the scripture ended by saying that no one can cross over. Wherever you find yourself after death, there is no crossing over. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name I pray that as we continue, you by your Spirit will lead us, blessing us, granting us deeper insights into the scripture. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Where will you live forever? The scripture here tells us that finally the beggar died and was carried by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and his soul went to the place of the dead. The last time we discovered that Jesus used this particular story to teach us about eternity, we discovered that all mankind can be placed under two divisions, and we are all moving in two directions, and we are surely going to end at two different destinations. We looked at the two divisions, and we discovered that the rich man illustrated a life that was led without God, a life that had no place for God, a life that was self-centered, a life that was lived in the satisfaction of passion and desire of the self. Lazarus, in the opposite, on the contrary, also illustrated a life that was lived in the fear of God, in the reverence of God, in the expectation of eternity, a place of rest in the presence of God. And finally, when death came, we saw that the rich man ended in torment. Lazarus ended in a place of comfort. The scripture says, finally the beggar died. Listen, no matter where you find yourself today, no matter what you think about yourself today, the reality is this. Surely one day you are going to be confronted with death. Just as the beggar died, scripture says the rich man also died. Because death is that great leveler. Whether you are black or white, whether you are young or old, whether you are rich or poor, listen, death is appointed for us all. The poor man died and the rich man equally died. We are surely going to die one day, whether we believe it or not, whether we accept it or not. These are hard facts. But death is one word no human being is comfortable with and will always want to run away from. But it is a reality we're surely going to face one day. The story of Lazarus indicates that in this life, we're traveling in two different directions. And we have two different destinations. When we read from the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, Jesus said, "You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate, the highway to hell." I want you to know that there is a highway to hell. "The highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for the many who chose the easy way. But the gateway to life is small and the road is narrow, and only a few ever find it." I want you to know that only a few ever find it. It is not because the way is hidden, but it is because only a few decide that they will want to go by that way. Those who go by the broad way end in hell, and those who go by the narrow way end in heaven. I don't know which of the two ways you are traveling by today. The scripture reveals that in life, the group of people who are traveling on the broad way have a very wide gate, and there are many who run through it. However, the end of it is destruction. The broad way is the easy way. It is very easy to travel by that way. Yet the scripture describes it as a highway to hell. It is a popular way. In fact, we might not struggle to go through that way. And so in relation to our spiritual professions, let me state here emphatically that spiritual professions are not judged by statistics. The majority is not always right. Sometimes we are tempted to believe that the majority is always right. But that is not true. The fact that everybody does it is no proof that what they are doing is right. In this world, we are tempted to go by the easy way, to follow what everyone else does. And we're deceived in thinking that because it is popular, because we see everyone else doing it, that might be the right way. The majority can be wrong certain times. In this broad way, scripture says there is abundance of liberty. Because it is wide, men are free to do whatever they choose. And you may go into this gate with no checks to your appetites, to your passions, walking in the way of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. Anything, your passions, your eyes, your heart desires, you go after it. I've heard people say, "What is this life all about? Let us eat and drink, for when we die, it is finished." That is a real deception. When you die, it is not finished. It depends upon the direction you chose in this life. The broad way, therefore, has nothing to hedge in those who walk in it. They are permitted to wander endlessly. In the broad way, remember, you will have a lot of company, because scripture says many enter through it. But if we follow the multitude, most times we'll be led to do evil. The end of it, however, should frighten us. For scripture says the end is destruction. We are banished from God's presence. The narrow way, scripture commands us to strive to enter through. And the reasons are because the gate is small and the road is narrow that leads to life, and only a few find it. The disadvantage of this road is its narrowness and the effort required to enter its gates. In fact, in it, the first step required is a revolution in all of one's purposes and plans, and a life of surrender of what, all that one is, and one is committed to self-sacrifice. No wonder a few, scripture says, found it. But the good news is this: the end is eternal life. Scripture says Lazarus died and the rich man also died. Where will you live forever? Death is when our earthly life is brought to an end. It comes upon every human being. It's not a matter of whether we are ready for it or not. It has to do with when God has appointed it to come upon us. In reality, death has to do with when the spirit and soul leaves the body and we appear before our Maker. Scripture talks about three kinds of death. The first one, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, talks about the fact that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, there is judgment. This death has to do with the physical death. When a person's spirit and soul is separated from the body, when you travel wherever you are to any of the mortuaries, whether it's Kolebu or the 37 military hospital or the rich hospital, get to the mortuary and you'll find people who are lying there still. Their souls and their spirits have left their bodies and they lie there motionless. The second kind of death, the Bible calls the spiritual death. It is when a living person is separated from God. We read about that in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 to 4. When they are living, yet scripture calls them dead, separated from God. There are millions of people living in our world in very good status financially and socially, and yet spiritually are dead because their spirits have no relationship with God. They do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and they are living a life without God. The third kind of death scripture talks about is the eternal death. When a person's spirit is separated from God, banished from the presence of God into hell forever. Revelation chapter 20 talks about this kind of death, and this is very disastrous. For you to live the rest of your life, eternity in hell, that was where the rich man found himself after death. Remember, we are talking about the two different directions in which all mankind is traveling. Scripture says when Lazarus died, the angels came to escort him into the presence of God on earth because he was very poor. When I bring it into a setting today, I can conclude that his family might not want to spend too much on him. So probably he was not even put into a mortuary. But then a day after death, he was buried, maybe in an unpolished coffin, with a few family members present. Yet scripture says that, in spite of that, he was transported by angels into the presence of the Most High God. The rich man equally died in spite of his wealth. And I suppose in our setting today, he died in one of the most popular hospitals and was kept in the best of the mortuaries for several months while all the preparation took place for his funeral. And I believe when they finally came, a most popular preacher was chosen to conduct the funeral service. And the largest and a beautiful church auditorium was chosen. I can imagine the kind of motor haze that carried the body, led by dispatch riders. And after the burial, I suppose here that there was plenty to eat and to drink and a lot of takeaways. Very popular funeral though. Yet, scripture says that the end of that was torment, a place of torment. Contrary to the beggar's experience, the Bible says his soul went to the place of death. The place of the dead. He went to a place of torment. Beloved, there are two divisions. And there are two directions. And there are two destinations. As we live on planet Earth at this point in time, this is the time of decision. This is a time where we have all the opportunity to make a decision as to where we want to end in eternity. This is the time to decide the direction in which we will want to go. Remember, scripture clearly here teaches us we might be in the popular majority today, but the end thereof is destruction. This is an opportunity as we listen to God's word to purpose in our hearts. Though difficult it might be, crossing over from the majority to the minority, I'm not suggesting it's easy. Because there are certain things we value so much in life, we are going to decide to cut off. There are certain friends we should be able to say goodbye to. There are certain things we love so much. There are certain things we cherish so much, which we should be ready to give away so we can join that group the scripture calls the minority, who are traveling on the narrow road into eternity. It doesn't matter how you feel about this message. It doesn't matter how you think about this message today. The reality is that there are two divisions and there are two directions we are traveling. The popular direction and the unpopular direction. But then, note that these two directions are leading us to two destinations. A place of rest in heaven or a place of torment in hell. Remember, death brings an end to the question. Once a person dies, there is no amount of prayer that is said for him which will be able to change his situation. It doesn't matter the popularity of the preacher who preaches, who conducts that funeral service, nothing can change. Once you die without Christ, you end up like the rich man in the place of torment forever. And nothing can change. As you have life, you know, it is for one reason. Because God, in His love and in His mercy, does not desire that you perish. The God of love, who knows the end, does not desire that you end up like that rich man. So you are not dead today because He decided to give you another opportunity to see if you can heed to His call. You can be obedient to that call. You can yield to Him and say, Lord Jesus, I have been living my life all this while, but today I have come. Today I want to repent of all my sins. I want to come to you, Jesus Christ, for forgiveness. Remember, Scripture says that Jesus loved us so much that He left all His glory in heaven and had to take upon Himself the form of man so He can be able to lay down His life to purchase for us eternal life. For Scripture says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the Bible says there is only one mediator between man and God, the man Jesus Christ, who came and gave His life as a ransom for many. He calls unto you. And He says, come unto me, you who labor and are heavy laden. I am ready to give you rest. I am ready to change your destiny. I'm ready to change your song. I'm ready to change your destination. I'm ready to give you a new life. You see, the good news is this. In our strength, we can never change the direction. For Jesus, and in Him alone, can we find strength to be able to live a good life. For the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. Everything is become new. Jesus Christ is ready to empower us and to grant us every strength we need so we can be able to live a new life. Once again, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If you will only open, allow me, I will come in, dine with you and you with me. What is it that you have been struggling to overcome? Jesus is present. He's by your side, wherever you find yourself today, is waiting to hear from you. Just call to Him today. Tell Him, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Forgive me. Come and live in my heart. Grant me the strength to live for you from this day. And I believe He is ready to come in. I'm praying for you briefly now. Lord Jesus, I pray for that young man, even as he listens to my voice, for that young lady, I pray that, Lord, today, as you have promised, forgiveness will be their portion, that you will visit them. They'll find new life in you. So God, their eternal destination will be changed from this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
It is our conviction that you've been blessed by the message. Please tune in every Tuesday and Thursday at 2 p.m. for more inspiring messages. For further information and counseling, please write to fnyakon@endtimeag.org or call 020-815-2761. You may also visit our website at www.endtimeag.org. Remember, until God gives up, you can't give up.
The Lord can calm the troubled soul.